Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Tonight, we kick off a new monthly segment on Open House called Ask Anything. Springs out of an initiative that we covered a few months ago out of the Crossway Church at Melbourne. It's Pastor Dale Stevenson put himself out there for any and all questions to anyone who'd listen, people without faith, but also people with faith. His challenge was just that, ask anything about that faith, both in his church and when he appeared here on Open House. There was a great response, and we thought, why not make it a regular thing? So, over to you. Ask anything. We're open to all comers. Going to see how good this man behind all this is. So if you're up to it, you've got a question that's perhaps for a long time been burning in your brain, 1-300-40-2020. Question about the Christian faith or the Bible. Tonight's your night. Fire away, 1-300-40-2020. Dale Stevenson, welcome back to Open House.
G'day, Lee. How you going?
You're braced for it? Great stuff. Thanks, mate. Congratulations on this. And as I said, we've had such a great response to it. I'll fire my first question at you from Bruce. On the Facebook page tonight, actually, asylum seekers, what is the church's thoughts and would they help them?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. And just hearing you introduce the theme, you know, we must be crazy saying ask a question about anything. But
good luck.
We're going to give these our best shot, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, so asylum seekers, the church's voice, generally speaking, has been quite a compassionate voice into this domain, realising that Australia is a signatory to the International Refugee Convention, therefore people are allowed to arrive on our shores seeking refuge. They're not breaking the law to do that, and they're not jumping a queue either, because frequently in the countries that they are fleeing, there is no queue. And so, you know, those who arrive on our shores have the right to arrive on our shores seeking asylum. It's worthy of note that Australia is the only Western democracy that has mandatory detention. And, of course, with more recent decisions where we are effectively offshoring our asylum seeker challenge, it's being posited to us that it's saving people from risking their lives on the sea, because there is a human trafficking trade.
Yes.
And people are making a profit on with very desperate people. And so the government, to its credit, did increase the number of asylum seekers that we're prepared to receive. And that's a good thing, I think, because we're able to. We're a wealthy nation. We can cope. In reality, asylum seekers represent only a small portion of those who migrate to Australia on an annual basis. So is the church prepared to help? A bit more than a year, maybe a year and a half, we actually made an offer to the federal government saying we think it's wrong that children are being put in mandatory detention. And if the government can't take care of them in a better way, we are offering to take care of them. Now, the federal government never took us up on that offer, but we're attempting to agitate and to kind of prick the conscience of our government and our nation. It's just not right to put children in detention. And incredibly, it costs six times more to have them in detention than to process them in community, which is what the broader international community does.
Can I ask this? Can I add my question just briefly to this? Mm. If it is a people smuggling business in which people do die on the high seas, shouldn't we, as Tony Abbott says, stop the boats?
Oh, yeah, look, absolutely. So there is some very sincere motivation about seeking to prevent people from risking their lives on the seas. So that is sincere, I believe. It's worth noting that there are push factors as well as pull factors. You know, a pull factor is Australia's a great place to come.
That's to be drawn to, yes.
Yeah. A push factor is my life is being threatened, or my children or my wife is being threatened, and so I'm going to risk whatever. And so while we've tried to make the deterrence tougher and tougher, where the push factors are as strong as they are, people will still take the risk. So it's a highly complex issue, and I don't think anyone can pretend it's simple. It's not simple. I think what Australia does would do well to do is to maintain a very compassionate predisposition to those who are suffering as much as those seeking asylum are. And worth noting, it's over 90% of those who arrive by boats, having been processed, are deemed to be legitimate asylum seekers. So it's not a huge kind of gateway for fakes. These are people genuinely seeking asylum.
Okay. First question from Arthur in Mount Druitt in Sydney. Arthur, meet Dale. Dale.
G'day, Arthur.
Hi. How
are Arthur,
you?
What's your question?
My question is this. You hear about the spread of Islam around the globe, and living in Australia, our constitution allows for people to have the right to practice their religious faith. What I'm concerned about is I'm wondering, from a Christian perspective, how do we sort of ensure that these people are welcome, but at the same time that their faith doesn't become a sort of like a dictatorship. Do you know what I mean?
Arthur, thanks for that. And I must say that next week on Open House, we've got Bernie Power, who almost uniquely as a former missionary, credibly, sensibly straddles both the world of Islam with Christianity. It's a very, very revealing and useful answer to that very question, actually. Dale, what would you say for now?
Yep, provocative question, because there are people who, and I sense the concern that was embedded in that question. It's worth us noting, Australia is a place with freedom of religion, which is a precious commodity. And so people of all faiths are welcome to migrate to Australia, and that is part of the reality. Therefore, if people are coming with an Islamic faith, if people are coming with a Buddhist faith, or whatever faith they might have, or no faith whatsoever, Australia is a society that is an open society. History tells us that as people migrate to Australia, when it gets to the second and third generation, there is higher levels of integration that do take place, and it's classically the first generations that find it the most difficult to integrate. So it's not that we are without challenge in that domain, but freedom of religion is a celebrated thing. The Christians enjoy it, and other faiths need to be free to enjoy that privilege as well in our nation.
Okay, Arthur, thanks for your call. David's called in from Darwin. David, what's your question? Ask anything of Dale Stevenson.
Yeah, how you going?
Right.
I'm just wondering, why is sin all the same? You know, like, people can sin all their lives and they give their lives to Jesus and they repent, and then other people don't sin much at all. And it says in the Bible that whether you sin once or you sin a million times, it's all the same.
Okay.
What is the theology behind that?
Okay, by our measure, there's, as we would see it, a grading of sin, really bad sin, not so bad, but God sees it as all sin. Is that right, Dale?
Yeah, well, there we go. Good question, David. So the whole idea of sin is kind of missing the mark. It's where God has his will and his ways, and when we choose to live outside of that, we are therefore, by definition, missing that mark and therefore sinning. It's worth noting that the sort of actions that people take has both a very natural consequence. So if a person is going to sleep around a lot, they might find themselves with a sexually transmitted disease, or a woman might find herself pregnant. If people are going to lie, cheat and steal, there might be natural social or legal consequences. So the implications of sin are quite distinct and divergent. I think the nature of the question was with regards to in God's eyes.
Yes.
And it's worth noting, and I think what's at the core of the question, the Bible teaches that our sin and our rebellion actually alienate us relationally from God. We choose to go our own way, and there's an implication of that, and we find ourselves alienated from God. That's ultimately why Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross, so that people have the opportunity. You know, he paid our debt. We have the opportunity to be forgiven and have a fresh start. That's right at the core of the Christian gospel. You know, it is the good news that there's always the opportunity for a fresh start. I don't think Christians or the Bible seeks to pretend that the gravity of all sin is the same, while the implication of an alienation from God they have in common, but the gravity of certain people's deeds will have far greater impact on other individuals, But what they do have in common is that they will estrange us from a holy God. Hence, we all need to experience forgiveness.
Okay, David, thanks very much for your call from Darwin. Adam has called in from Corrimal on the New South Wales South Coast. Hi, Adam.
How you going?
What, fine, thanks. What's your question for Dale Stevenson?
My question is, there's a verse in the Bible that says that talks about an abomination where it says that when it happens to take off, does that mean, is that related to gay marriage? Because the Bible talks about gay people as an abomination.
Dale, what would you say to that?
Okay, so there was a quote from the Old Testament there where a man lying with a man is described as being an abomination. It's worth noting when you move to the New Testament that the descriptors for the New Testament are exclusively with regards to same-sex activity rather than same-sex orientation. So when Jesus spoke, and he came proclaiming a thing called the kingdom of heaven, which is what it meant to live in right relationship with God and under his rule. Now, this is a really hot topic and a super huge topic. So,
yes.
Like, I feel it's like it's almost slightly dangerous to give a brief and try to answer, but I'll do my best.
Yeah.
If we're going to, any individual is free to live as they choose. That's the autonomy of humanity. We make our choices. We live by our choices. Multiple international surveys place same-sex attraction at about 2.5% of the population. I know people want to contest that, but in multiple nations, government, university surveys, that's about where it lands. Also for Australia, by multiple studies. So people experience a same-sex orientation at around 2.5% of the population. Now, what a person chooses to do that then goes back to the individual. You know, sexuality is never found a gay gene. It's as a result of nurture and nature that people genuinely feel this. It's very, very rare that a person makes that as a choice. It's something that a person feels. Now, the tension, therefore, that's experienced is with regards to the teachings of Jesus and of the Bible, where Jesus said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They are no longer two, but one, and what God's joined together, you know, let people not separate, etc. And where the natural place for sexual expression is between a male and a female in the covenant relationship of marriage, the exclusion of all others. Now, even that statement is, you know, quite a narrow statement for the broader expression of Australian society.
Yes.
Heterosexual is pretty normal for people to be having multiple sexual partners. The way of Jesus and for sexual expression, it's male to female, it's in a secure relationship of marriage. Now, I've just broadsided a whole lot of people, but that actually is the teaching of the Bible.
Okay.
Now, people are at liberty, therefore, to decide, do I choose to be a follower of Jesus? I'm going to walk in the will and ways of God and with all of the associated implications of that. And Jesus is described as the pearl of great price. It's worth giving up everything to know him and experience him and love him and be loved by him. And therefore, you know, people are therefore left kind of weighing up as best they can his teachings and implications for their life. Now, it's worth noting there's a fair amount of what I describe as kind of review, revisionist theology, and some people are attempting to say, reinterpret the Bible to say, no, it says it's okay with integrity of heart. I don't actually believe that's the message of the Bible. What Christians are called to do is love all people, and it grieves me that there's such a level of animosity between the broader Christian community and the same-sex attracted community, and because people are to be loved. We have many people at Crossway, where I'm the senior pastor, who experience same-sex attraction and who wrestle with that and seek to express their love for Jesus in a God-honoring way. And can I say, there are just a whole stack of heterosexual singles who are also not giving expression to their desires.
It's a very good point.
Because they're also wanting to honour Jesus.
Yeah.
So I know it's a really vexed issue, and as I said, some people have the daggers out of me from all sorts of different directions, and that's concise, but I think I'm not in a position to redefine what I understand to be the teachings of the Bible, and that's as best as I can understand.
Okay, good on you. I think by the look of my next question from John in Melbourne, I'm probably glad it's you, Dale, and not me. Hi, John.
Hi, I'd just sort of like to know the verse that was used by the Apollo 11 team to get them to the moon.
The verse that the Apollo 11 team...
used to, in the Bible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stuck.
Ah, got him.
Someone can Google it and turn in the answer. I have no idea.
John, by the end of the program, we'll get that for you. You were going so well. And this is now time called on this segment, Ask Anything. But listen, you did well. Dale Stevenson.
Man has got to know his limitations.
Yes, that's right. Keeps you humble. Dale Stevenson, thank you so much. I think it's gone really well again. And we'll see you next month for another little edition of Ask Anything. Thanks so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Good on you, Lee. My pleasure.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.